Could this be the last EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast episode of the season? At least before the Final Four? Let's find out. The gang is back together. Javi is here with me again, just like last week. And we welcome back Vasiliki, who comes off a fantastic week. She got to go to Valencia to see two fantastic basketball games. She made some great picks in the Fantasy Challenge. She climbed up, and again, you got the coach wrong.
You could have ended at, I was great, I had a great week in Valencia and some great fantasy picks, and forget about the rest, because what really matters? I was 13th in the world for two whole days, so I'm happy with that, and 15 Greek, so thank you very much.
No, not just that, you are in the private league second among all Vasilikis.
And second overall, I'd say.
So, yeah, there's only one Vasiliki with a higher score than you, so that's pretty good. By the way, I'm first among Frankies, so.
Yeah, okay.
She's forgetting the most important thing. Hello, everybody, is that she saw me twice this week.
Once? Yes.
To give Sasha Vesenko the season MVP award, that we had an interview with him. And then, I saw her in Valencia too. I was there.
Yeah.
That is truly an historic week.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a game it was, game two. Absolutely great. One of the best playoffs games ever.
Yeah, the whole series, I think it's the best we see this season in the playoffs. So these two teams have been battling off each other, and they produced two amazing games. The one was a thriller in the end, the other also a thriller in the end, but the way much scoring game was unbelievable.
Yes, they were living up to the new Michael Jackson movie by being thrillers. But
Nice one.
Yes. But all right, let's jump into the winners of the private league. We had some high scores, even higher scores than Vasiliki.
Yes, we did. The one is coming from Greece. It's Konstantinos Havdoulas, who amounted 210 fantasy points after game one. And the other one was Ivan Sanchez with 212.5 fantasy points, which is even more amazing because I think the second game wasn't as high scoring as the first one when it comes to fantasy. So congratulations to both of you guys. Keep going. We're this close to the Final Four, this close.
There were some insane scores out there. Some people really, really hit it. You being among them, but you had that one flaw.
Okay.
All right, let's look back a little bit at what happened the last week and start with our winners. Who do you got? Vasiliki, who's your winner from games one and two of the playoffs?
I have to go with Facundo Campazzo. He has stepped up enormously after Eddie Tavares was injured. He's scoring, he's producing assists. He was the best scorer of his team twice, if I'm not mistaken. He does that with minimum of turnovers, with not many free throws. He's a scoring machine, and now it's the time that Real needs him the most.
I agree. Yeah, that he when everybody was a little bit afraid, I think, how that series might look when Tavares went out and Campazzo said, "I got it."
Exactly. I mean, when Tavares went down, everybody was worried about how they would react, and he scored 4 3-pointers in the first quarter. That game one, he only had one assist, but he had to do what he had to do. I mean, he saw that he was the man that had to rescue Madrid in a way, and he did.
Yes, good pick. Javi, who's your winner?
My winner is Nicolò Melli. He's been amazing. There's always concerns about the center position at Fenerbahce. Not anymore with Melli. Some people claim that he should have been the best defender this season, but that's up to the coaches. The coaches didn't vote for him. So, yeah, I mean...
I voted for him.
No, but I mean, it's only the coaches who vote and register the votes. So stop blaming us. We don't have anything to do with that decision. And I think Alfa Diallo deserved anyway. But and Melli has been amazing in both ends of the court. I mean, he's not the Fener's defensive anchor. He is, of course. But also he's been producing an offense. And I think that's one of the main reasons why Fener got some relatively comfortable wins in games one and two at home.
Yeah, also very nice pick. Now, my pick is something you might be a little surprised by. I'm going with Mike James. And you might say, Frankie, did you not see the box score? Did you not see that Monaco lost both their games? They did. And Mike James has been outstanding like you'd expect him in the postseason, in the play-in. And then he had a monster game in game one, even though they lost by a lot. And then in game two, he got ejected. You'll say, oh, well, how can he be the winner? Because Mike James has been bringing it on the court. But then here's what happened after he got ejected. He went to X and he wrote, I will no longer talk to referees about calls. It will be a tough task for me, but even though the game was probably over, I hurt my team and didn't make it any easier. I got to do better. Back to the series. And for that, I tip my hat to Mike James. He owned it. He hurt his team. He came out publicly. I'm not the world's biggest Mike James fan, but I gotta show respect for what he came out there. That's what a leader does. I don't know what impact that will have on game three, but sometimes in adversity, you've got to just step up, say, my bad. And he did it publicly. I'm sure he also did it privately to his teammates. And while he's been producing on the court, that was his flaw and he owned it. And I tip my hat to them. So good for you, Mike James. Because of that, because of showing that leadership, he is my winner of the week.
Classic. I respect that. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Now let's move on to, we're not going to do losers because, you know, everyone got to the playoffs as kind of a winner in some way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So we won't do losers this week, but let's do our question marks. Javi, who's your question mark for these games?
My question mark is Nate Ruvers of Valencia. I was expecting a little bit more from him, but I think he's going to bounce back, but I'm not really sure. That's why he's a question mark. He got me confused. I mean, I really trusted him before the games. I thought he was like a pillar of Valencia against Panathinaikos. I saw some advantages with him playing at the five position against Lesort and everything due to his three-point shooting, but he's not making much out of it. And I think his moment in the series is about to arrive. It better be, because it's game three and they're down 0-2. And, I expect a big game three from him, but I'm not 100% sure. So that's kind of a question mark, right? I mean, it could be, it couldn't be. It's a risk, but, I mean, yeah, let's see.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the question marks. Guys who we can see it going either way, and we're not really sure. That's certainly the case for me. My question mark is Taylen Horton-Tucker, an all-year league pick this year, one of the best first seasons from guys straight to the NBA in recent history. And this year, in four games against the Jaguars, he's 1-for-16 from deep. That's including I think 0-for-8 so far in these playoffs. So while he's got a 6 PIR, an average 6 PIR in four games against Jaguars. He just hasn't been getting it done. If Fenerbahce isn't go far, this is a guy that they're building around. He's a strong player. They've proven that they can beat Jalgiris without him stepping up, but he's got to leave his mark in the postseason. So that's the question mark. Can he get it done? Can he get the monkey off his back here with a strong game three, or if needed game four, and go into the final four, showing that he's ready for the bright lights? Because if he has another struggles with another game, and he's scored his 2 points is good, but the 3 point shooting, if he can't make it in the big games, then that's something you got to worry about.
And he'll do it. If he bounces back, he's going to do it in front of a great atmosphere. I cannot wait for game three in Kaunas. It's going to be amazing.
All the game threes should be amazing. But yeah, Vasily, who's your question mark?
Oh, well, we'll go with Kevarius Hayes. There is a little bit of concern about if Daniel Theis will make it to game three, if he'll play. We'll talk about it shortly afterwards. So Kevarius Hayes is a very underpriced center right now, but can he go up against three great centers of Olympiacos in Nikola Milutinov, Donta Hall, and Tyreek Jones? I think that's too much. But if there's no one else, he should do something. You think, like, they cannot play without a center. He should be able to grab a few rebounds, or I don't know, score a few buckets, get a few fouls. So I'm not entirely sure what we'll get from him, but I think he should be considered.
If he stays out of foul trouble, then he should put up numbers, because he's going to he needs to get the minutes. And as I've said for years now, anybody wants to hear me, the currency of the fantasy challenge is playing time. And right now he's going to get that playing time. So we just have to, if he's on your team, not to give away anybody who's on my team, but if he's on your team, you just have to hope he stays out of foul trouble. All right. So let's jump ahead and look at next week's games. Unlike last week, it's a much more balanced schedule, which makes it a lot easier for building teams. We've got two games on Tuesday, and if necessary, Thursday. It's Hapoel hosting Real Madrid, Monaco hosting Olympiacos, and then the next day, we have Jalgiris hosting Fenerbahce, and Panathinaikos hosting Valencia. All the series right now are 2-0. The only home team now with the lead is Panathinaikos going home. They won two games in a row. Everyone else is going on the road, so the home teams are in an 0-2 hole. We have between 7 and 15 games remaining in this EuroLeague season.
Wow.
Javi, how many games do you think will be played?
I'm going to say between 8 and 9. I don't see, like, I said it last week, right? I mean, and you were laughing at me that I didn't see any series going to game 5. And now all of a sudden, everybody is jumping into Javi's wagon. I mean, come on, man. It is what it is, I guess. But if I see a couple of series being swept and the other two could go to game 4, but I still don't see game 5. So we'll see.
All right, Vasily, you said between 7 and 15 games. How many are left?
Yeah, I think I will go with Javi. I think both Olympiacos and Panathinaikos will do a sweep. Maybe potential game 4 in the other two series.
All right, I'll go over.
I was wondering why 15? Why the odd number? Because we don't have the third place game anymore, right?
That's right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, all right, if you guys are both going 8-9, I'll take the over on that, and we'll see who's right on that. So, if you have to pick one series, it's going to be a sweep. Which one you got, Vasiliki? One sweep.
One? Yeah. Olympiacos against Monaco.
I agree. That's my pick, too. Javi?
Same. I think with the latest injury news about Monaco, with Diallo being out, I don't see the way they can beat Olympiacos, really.
All right, so that that's a sweep. The three of us agreeing, so that's a sweep. Which series is most likely to go to a fifth game?
I would say clearly Žalgiris against Fenerbahce because of Žalgiris' home court advantage. Like I said, it's going to be expected. By the way, can I send a message to Sylvain Francisco, please? It's just a little second.
Of course.
Sylvain, please, don't worry. I see that probably you're wondering. You saw people getting awards before the games and everything. Don't worry, your award is here. I mean, we have it. It's gonna fly to Athens soon. I mean, to Kaunas, and then you'll be giving it very soon. But it's here. Don't worry, we have it. We got you.
I'm sure I'll sleep much better tonight now.
Yeah, probably yes.
All right, Vasily, which game do you have going 5?
I don't see a series going to game 5, to be honest. I don't think we'll get to this point. Fener got 2 comfortable wins against Žalgiris. Real got 2 very comfortable wins against Hapoel, especially the second game, the second half, Hapoel was not competitive at all. I thought they were going to win game 2. That's why I had coached to this. As you already mentioned, I really believed in Hapoel bouncing back in game 2. But now I don't know if they can beat Real twice in a week.
I also don't know if they could beat Real twice in a week, but I think, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to force a game 5, but if one team is more likely, I actually think it'll be Hapoel Tel Aviv. That's the team that I will go for most likely to go to 5 games, but it's not likely the way things look right now. All right. Who's your playoff MVP? Javi?
I got to go with Campazzo. He's been almost a point per minute in the playoffs. He's been handling business without Tavares, who has been injured. Almost no turnovers, just a couple of them in one per game, and well, he's been fantastic from downtown, also passing the ball. So I would say, and then of course Real Madrid is 2-0, which is what matters, so I will go with Facu.
I will second that. I think that when a star player goes out, especially this case, it's not just star player went out, he didn't go out before the game, he went out like the first couple minutes of the game, and somebody to step up. It's the leadership, it's the numbers, it's the overcoming the adversity. For all those reasons, I go with Campazzo, but I have a feeling Vasiliki, you're going in a different direction.
Yes, I will go with Coach Ergin Ataman. I think he has done a stellar job coaching these first 2 playoff games, 2 very different games. He unveiled some new tricks from his bag, and he had been heavily criticized during the season because of Panathinaikos' ups and downs. He has proven the doubters wrong once again. And I think it comes back to your question mark, Nate Rovers. The way that Panathinaikos has found to stop him is because Coach Ataman put Nigel Hayes-Davies and Juan Cernogómez guarding the fives, Rivers, who's a shooting center. He can go out and shoot. Lesor couldn't guard him in the perimeter, but if you put your forward, your power forward guarding him, you have no trouble. And that's why they have neutralized him. It's one of the tricks that Adaman pulled. So he's my MVP.
Okay. I can't believe you're putting me in a situation where I have to do this. Panathinaikos haters, come on. Here we go. Okay.
No, please.
What tricks did he do? Did he like have some special prayer where he made Valencia miss free throws and his guys made the free throws? That's a special trick. Come on. They won a game in overtime at the buzzer where Valencia had one of the worst free throw shooting performances of all time. And Panathinaikos didn't miss a single free throw. That's part of basketball. But to credit the coach for that, come on. That was not he. You should, if anything, you say he was out coached with the talent that he has and the roster you have for it to come down to free throws in an overtime game. Valencia outplayed them. Ataman is not the MVP of the series. He got lucky because it all just happened. Unless you can tell me that Ataman has the magic to make the other team miss free throws.
No, I completely disagree. If you break down the game, you will see he has done a stellar job. It's not only about free throws. Okay, of course, experience matters, and you saw it. Valencia players haven't been to the playoffs before, and they start losing threes in the first game, and then they start losing free throws in the second game. But it's not only that. It's not only the talent. It's how you make a team that was seventh in the regular season went into the play-ins and played a team that was fantastic all season long. They lost Kostas Loukas right before they jumped into the plane, which is their captain and their best player. And then they went out and beat Valencia twice, which no one thought it was possible. Many people didn't even think that Panathinaikos get away win. One, not two. And he managed to do that. So I credit him.
He got lucky, and luck is part of the game. And I credit for him being lucky. It's better to be lucky than to be good, right? And I 100% believe that. So great, he was lucky. But to say he's the MVP, and Javi, I just got to point out, you're afraid of the Panathinaikos fans, so you're not saying anything.
No. I'm staying away from this conversation, really. I don't want to talk about it. There was something I didn't like about Ataman is that he didn't take questions after game two. And that I didn't like, so I'm restraining myself from talking about Ataman.
Yeah, all right. I will let this go, and I'll let all the haters come at me on social media. But I think that it was pretty clear. He did a lot of great things, and maybe Valencia is a much better team. But they won. They did not win game two, especially because of great X's and O's. And
I have to say this: there was a really tactical move, really good tactical move by Ataman, which was that when Nan got the third foul in game two, and it looked like. It could be an advantage for Valencia. He came up with a very tall lineup featuring Jedi Osman and Nigel Hayes-Davies and Juancho on one of the centers. And he kept TJ Shorts in the bench, and instead he played Jerian Grant. I think that was a brilliant move. What he needed was not to speed up the game tempo, and he tried just to slow it down. I know we're talking about a 107-109 game overtime, highest scoring playoff game ever, but in that moment, I think he made the right move exactly to avoid Valencia from, or to prevent Valencia from going into a big run.
And we'll move on in a second after I have the last word of all of that. That's true. That's a great coach. He didn't win EuroLeague, three EuroLeague championships with two teams without being a great coach.
He's
but
a
if
tremendous
Valencia
coach.
Makes their
he's
free throws, we don't have this conversation at all.
Is he the best coach of the 21st century?
No.
In the EuroLeague. Well, he would be up there with the greats for sure. But yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, none of you is right. Like, okay, he got lucky.
I'm right. What do you mean?
He put the team in a situation that he could get lucky. Yes, so that's my
okay. Opinion. I'll take that. He put the team in the situation to be lucky. That for me, that's not the MVP.
That's what a good coach does.
We got to talk about some injuries so people know who not to have on their teams. There's some. Monaco's beat up. Monaco has lost Alpha Diallo. Could be the rest of the season or at least the rest of the playoffs. Daniel Theis is a game time decision. What do you think of that, Vasiliki?
I don't think they have many solutions with Mirotić also being out. I see small lineups with three guards. I think Mike James and Eli Okobo and Matt Strazulu have to do the extra mile, but even that it's not enough because Olympiacos is a very stacked team. They can play 12 players. They can wear them out with fouls. I don't see how Monaco can survive in this game, which is really sad because they had beat adversity over and over again throughout the season with multiple things going on and off the court. But I don't think they have much more to do right here.
All right. What can you tell us about Tyson Ward?
I think he will also be a game time decision. I don't think they will rush him to play, given the fact that there are still many days to the Final Four and they don't necessarily need him to win this game. So it's usually the tactic that Olympiacos follows. If someone is not 100% ready, he's not playing. So I don't expect him to play, but it's not a final word because we are recording before Olympiacos travels to Monaco.
All right, if he doesn't play, who do we go with? McKissick, Papanikolaou?
Both good picks. I think Papanikolaou will be in the starting lineup, but McKissick can come off the bench and be an X factor as well.
I think if he doesn't play, you should go with Sasha Vazenko.
No matter who plays, you should go with Sasha Vazenko. It's Sasha Vazenko.
All right, let's see our teams for this week. All right, am I going first? Is that the deal?
Yes, it is.
All right. So my team's a little heavy on turn one. I'm going with the two centers, Diana Turu, who we haven't mentioned, but it's been absolutely outstanding throughout the first two games. He's really taken advantage of Tavares not being there. And Kavirus Hayes, who we did mention, and like I said, he's going to get the minutes. So I'm going with the two centers. At forward, Mario Hazonia, who's been okay against Apol, had a monster game in the Spanish League on Sunday.
Unbelievable, 53 PAR.
Yeah. So I wish he would have done that on this week, but all right. And next him is Sasha Vazenkov, and then Mike James, who is my winner of the week. He will be my guard for turn one with Garuba, who's really stepped up with Tavares as my sixth man. And then my turn two players are Wade Baldwin and Branko Badio. The two guys, or one of the guys who I'm not mentioning here is Nedovic, and Nemanja Nedovic, given all Monaco's problems. I think that and his 4.3 credits would he cost. He's somebody who I think people should consider as a cheap guard. I just was ended up being so turn one heavy that I couldn't get into my lineup. But I think he's certainly somebody that should be on people's radars because they're gonna need some points and Mike James cannot do it all by himself.
We didn't mention Garuba as one of the winners of the week, but it's pretty obvious that he's won.
Yeah.
Like he's been unbelievable. He's bringing the toughness that the team needed down low. And Garuba is a must-have pick right now.
So, Javi, how great is my team?
It is great. I like it a lot. No complaints this time. I mean, good choice.
Awesome. Best of luck. You agree?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I'm the winner. All right.
I expected Oturu to have an even better game two because I had him on my team. And I said, since Tavares is out, but Suzuan Garuba did a great job as well. So we have to credit him.
Yeah. All right. I guess, Javi, you go next?
Yes. I'm heavily based on Real Madrid. I have three players from Real Madrid in turn one, Andres Feliz, Usman Garuba, and Facu Campazzo, together with Dan Oturu and, of course, Sasha Vesenkov, who's going to be my captain. Everything else I'm keeping for game for turn two. I have one Panathinaikos play, which is Jedi Osman. He played really well in game two. He saved the game with a crazy three-pointer that kind of forced overtime. My surprise pick, in a way, is Silvai Francisco. I mean, Francisco playing at home in a playoff game. I mean, come on. He has to play well. And then I have Dustin Sliva, who I also trust that he'll do better in Kaunas with De La Rea, who was amazing in game two, and Nicolò Melli. Little bit of everything and a lot of options for turn two. If needed be, my captain would be Francisco in turn two. We'll see.
I didn't mention, but my turn two captain, if needed be, would be Wade Baldwin. So,
okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
I like a lot Sergio De La Rea. I think he's going to be a problem for the Greek national team for the years to come. I have been saying since the Eurobasket, I was amazed by his skills, and he didn't play at all in game one, and he went in game two and had 18 points, scoring threes. He's only 19 years old and playing like that in a playoffs game. It's unbelievable.
He's such a great kid. Everybody loves Larry, man. He's like universally loved in Valencia. It's like everybody's player.
So my only, if I had to give feedback on your team, would be, would you, if you have some guys who crash and burn in turn one, would you use Sliva in turn two? If you had a bunch of eights and nines, would you use Larry? That's the question.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm thinking I'm downgrading a little bit. I'm putting Kavirus Hayes instead of Melli. And then I would go for a, let's say, more expensive forward than Sliva, but I have to make the numbers.
If I were you, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Well, thanks
All
for the
right.
tip.
Vasiliki, let's see your team. I promise to be nice.
Okay. I have Kyvarius Hayes, I have Salsa Vazenkov, I have Usman Garuba and Facundo Cavasso playing in turn one. And I have Kendrick Nunn, Tarik Biberovic, who has been once again amazing. And you already know he is my favorite fantasy player alongside with Mats Drazel. I have Devon Hall at the end of my bench. I have Branko Badiol, I have Shadi Osman, and I have Moses Wright, who should come and save me if Kyvarius Hayes doesn't perform. And also, he can be a good pick for captain in turn two, but I also have Kendrick Nunn for that if something goes sideways with Sasa Vezenkov, which I don't expect to happen, but just a safety net there.
That's a very strong team. Very different than my team, but strong. I won't pick on it.
Thank you very much.
I like Milutinov in there. That's a quality pick.
I don't have Milu right now. I have Kyvarius Hayes and Moses Wright. I had Nikola for the first two games, and he was unbelievable in game one. But he was too expensive, so I went a little bit down with Moses Wright, expecting him to do something good in Kaunas.
Same. I also had him the first two games, but I don't think that he's going to get that type of game in game three. So I moved away. But now is the tricky part where we have to talk about our heads.
Should I
Right. Let me
scare you right away?
just warn the general public that I'm sorry for whatever Vasiliki is about to say.
I'm not sorry because I have coached Joris Bartokas, and I think what can go sideways in that game? I mean,
The fact
come
that you just
on.
picked him, that's what goes sideways.
Monaco fans jumping up and down.
Do you hear that roar coming from Monaco right now? Oh my goodness.
No, don't say that. I had caught Barjokas in game one as well, and he gave me 25 fantasy points.
Okay.
Right, I'm not sure what to do now. Javi, what do you think?
I have Bartzokas. We agreed that Olympiacos is the safest choice to win on the
But
road this
that's
week,
before we
right?
knew that Vasilik was picking Barjokas.
True that, yeah.
Wait, Vasilik, if Ataman's the MVP for you of the playoffs, why don't you take him? Just for the
Yeah,
sake of all of us.
I was between these two,
Yes,
but I
so go
think
with Ataman.
no, because Panathinaikos beat Valencia twice, but 1 and 2 points difference, and I think Oli will have a more easy win than Panathinaikos. I think both sweeps, but I think Oli will have a better result in the end.
You're killing me here. You're killing me here.
All
All
right,
right.
well, let's move on. What's next?
Let's regroup, and now it's time for my favorite part of the show, and I hope that will put me in a better mood.
Yeah, get future, get rewarded.
Yes. All right. So
Okay.
we go first for Vasiliki. This
Okay.
question is from Yogev Gil. I'm guessing
Okay.
from Israel, Yogev. And he's just making a prediction. Olympiacos sweeps the series, but Real wins the championship.
Real, wow. Do we expect Tavares to play in the final four? I'm not
I
sure.
don't think so. No,
I don't
I'd be
think so
surprised.
either. So if Real managed to win a championship without Tavares, that would be unbelievable. I'm not
Vince
ready.
Cariolo would be the MVP.
They have the talent, they have the depth, and they don't have the pressure. Real is a really good sleeper
Okay.
pick for the Final Four.
Yeah, that's the truth. They managed to win the past couple championships when they weren't their favorites. So that tells something. But I'm not sure about that. I'm not ready to predict who's gonna win the final four. But I wouldn't give Re Real wouldn't be my first choice.
All
Let's
right.
say that.
Well, we'll have to remember this. If they do, we're going to have to give our props to Yogiev later on.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Kavi, if this same Barcelona roster, which just got knocked out in the play-ins, was 3 to 4 years younger, they would have walked through the competition with no more than 8 losses in the regular season. That comes from Dusan Djordjevic. What do you think?
Well, might be, yeah. I mean, all the veteran players in their prime, that could be probably the best team in the competition, yes. I mean, this was 2020, 2021, 2019, with Shengelia, Bessely, Satoransky, Well, Panther would be a little bit younger, but yeah, that would be one hell of a team, really. So, 8 wins. I don't know. The regular season is really balanced, and there are very good teams out there. But they would be more competitive and probably a Final Four team. Yes,
probably. 15-year-old Juan Nunez would struggle, but yeah, it would be a nice team.
I wouldn't say like they would be like first all around and win the EuroLeague for sure, but they would have a better choice. Yes, for sure.
And a front line of prime Vezeli and prime Shengela is a very, very scary line.
I'm playing prime Clyburn at the three.
That's right. Prime. That's about as good of a front line as I think there would ever have been in the EuroLeague. And with Sadarensky, a prime Sadarensky feeding them the ball, that's a very scary team. So yeah, I think that might be the best team. But that was not the case this year. All right. My question comes from Thanasis Matsiaris. Hey, Thanasis, how you doing? He writes, big fan here. Thank you. I appreciate it. Zagris has a serious chance to go all the way after 27 years.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know when you wrote this. Did you write this when they were 5-0 to start the season? I don't know. Even a week ago, I might have entertained this idea a little bit, but...
all the way? Yeah.
All the way. I mean, I was joking. I know he wrote this month, but I don't think he wrote it this week after they went down with those two losses. I did pick them to win the series. I was in the minority. It does not look like it's going to happen. I'd love to see them win the two games at home and force a game five. That would be so exciting. But the way things came out the first two games, it just looked like they were outclassed. And I don't see this series getting back to Istanbul, which means the Zagris can't go all the way. So
you know what? They started the season with 5 wins. If they finish it with 5 wins, they're champions. Simple.
Yes, that's right.
That's true.
All it takes is a 5-game winning streak, and they're the champions. I think that'd be a fantastic story, but I'm not optimistic. All right, but these guys are now entered in the contest, as is all the people who sent in questions and comments for Get Feature Get Rewarded. So let's announce this month's winner of a prize package, which I believe includes a EuroLeague TV subscription. It is Riglea Constantine. So kudos to you. Congratulations, Riglea. And I want to remind everybody, send in your questions, hot takes, strategies, and you might win some EuroLeague goodies. And goodies are a good thing. I like goodies.
are a good thing should be your team's name next season.
Maybe. That's a good one. Remind me. Yeah.
Yeah.
This year I put up to vote on Twitter. And
I remember. I remember that.
Remind me. I have to put goodies up there. Any final words, parting words, shout outs to anybody?
Not really, no. Good luck to all the teams in the games, and good luck to all the fantasy managers, and see you before the Final Four. We'll see if it's next week or not.
Let me wish a happy 82nd birthday to my mom.
Happy birthday!
Yes. She's a big fan of yours, Vasiliki, so...
Really?
She watches every episode, not for me, but for you. So.
She hates me, I'm sure.
Send her my love, please.
Of course I will. And with that, guys, we may be here, maybe not. It's hard to know next week. Will there be a Game 5? If there's a Game 5 in any series, we'll be here to help you pick out. If not, if everything falls short, no Game 5s, then it'll be... We'll be back for the Final Four. We'll be back for a Final Four episode. In the meantime, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for sticking with us. We appreciate it. Interact with us on the YouTube page. Like the podcast. Share the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Ask us questions. Even before Game 4, we can share stuff there. Or on social media. And we will see you here or not next week.